Good morning, Veritas. Welcome. This is new for us, and I'm just going to right off the bat tell you, this is really weird. I wasn't planning on preaching to an empty room, so this is going to be a bit awkward. I feel like I need the computer up here to watch the live feed to see who's liking or putting up angry faces for a little interaction of the audience. If I ask for an amen, I'm sure it'll be about as normal for a Sunday. So again, I wasn't planning on speaking to an empty room, but I guess you probably weren't planning on watching church in your pajamas this morning from your living room. But plans change. We don't like when our plans are disrupted at all. In fact, in my house, the way it's kind of unfolded is we had plans that were about a year ago to go on a cruise with my parents and my brother's family. Well, that didn't happen, and then we were going to go to Florida and just hang out on the beach together, and then that didn't happen, so let's just do a staycation, and we'll just kind of make some plans here. Dad's not working, to eventually, oh, I guess Dad's kind of working, and that vacation went out the window. So the morale in our house has been quite a roller coaster, and we don't like when our plans change at all, but as frustrating as that may be, it's a good reminder to us that we are not in control. We don't like that, but it's a good reminder that we're not in control. We can make all kinds of plans, what's going to happen next year, what's going to happen next month, what's going to happen next week, but that can change so easily, so quickly. Maybe there's a war or a global pandemic or you get sick or something happens that can change our plans so easy. The question is, when that happens, how do you respond? How do you respond when that happens? There's right now, as I kind of interact with people, there's a wide variety of reactions, but maybe there's a lot of fear right now. Maybe you're scared of getting sick. Maybe you're scared of the economy and what's going to happen with that through this. Or maybe you wouldn't say that you're scared, but you would say that you're angry. You're angry about how the government's handling it, and you wish they would do it differently. So whether it's fear on one end or anger on another end, either way, there's a peace that we should have as people who believe that God is in control that's disrupted. And to me, that's a bigger concern than a virus. Do we really believe that God is in control? Do we really believe that God is in control even in times of crisis? I was reflecting on the beginning of the book of Acts and just kind of the chaos they were in, facing persecution in Jerusalem. And I wonder, would the gospel have even left Jerusalem if there hadn't been persecution? It was persecution that scattered the apostles and scattered the believers to spread the message of the gospel. That forced people out of that situation. And we look at this situation, it's forcing us to think outside the box on how we do ministry and how we interact with each other. What is God going to do through this? And God is always at work, and we can trust him. But as Christians, when crisis happens, it's in those moments that our confidence in God should shine. What if that's not the case? I mean, what if instead of this time, confidence in God and peace reigning in your heart, you're finding yourself full of fear? What if you're finding yourself full of anger and frustration? Like, what are we to do in those situations? And how do we recapture peace despite the chaos around us? If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, if not, this is live, go get your Bibles. I don't even know if you can pause live TV. Well, get your Bibles and find Psalm 46. This is where we're going to be. We're going to be in Psalm 46. If you don't have a Bible, maybe you're just joining us because somebody shared a link and it's safe to check out a church right now. We'll put the verses up on the screen and I'll read them to you. We're glad that you're joining us. But we're going to be working through Psalm 46. It's a tremendous psalm for this situation, one that I would encourage you to commit to memory. But we're going to look at Psalm 46 today because in this psalm, the psalmist is talking about finding comfort in the midst of a chaotic world. So I thought, hey, maybe we could relate. So we're going to jump into this new kind of two-week series called Character in Crisis. This is our graphic. I haven't had a chance to interact with our arts team exactly what this means, but it's a cool picture. You could say, hey, this is maybe you now. And this is what we want you to be. So we're going to ask for some repentance and kind of you're in chaos and we want you to turn your attention to God. That's where we're going when we talk about character in crisis. And today we're going to talk about what should our attitude be. And then next week we're going to look at what should our actions be. So Psalm 46, starting in verse 1, it says this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now listen, we'll get more detailed as the psalm goes on, but big picture, what we have to understand going into this is comfort in the midst of chaos comes from confidence in God. And right off the bat, this psalmist is kind of making a bold, confident statement about who he thinks God is. God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Or you could say he is a help that can be found when you need it. So when chaos is happening around him, he finds comfort in God's ability to protect him and strengthen him. And that kind of confidence in God has implications, practical implications on our life and specifically our emotions. Look at what he says in the next line here. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, or because God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble, because that's true, then I will not be afraid. Because I believe this, I feel this. Like it's connected. I believe that God is my refuge. I believe that God is my strength. I believe that he's able to help me. And because I believe that, I have confidence and I have peace. Or the way he puts it, because I believe God is my refuge and because I believe God is my strength, I'm not going to be afraid. That's where it's coming from, his confidence. His confidence in God is the reason for not being afraid. And this confidence stands up to real threats. It's one thing to be young and in your 20s and say, I'm not afraid to die. It's another thing to sit in a doctor's office and get bad news and still have not a fear of death. Like this confidence of saying, I will not fear, this can stand up to real threats. Look what he says in verses 2 and 3. He says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And then if you look to the side, it says Selah. Now Selah is kind of used in the Psalms a lot. It calls for a break, like pause and reflect here. Think about this. And what he's saying is, my peace is not dependent on all these things going well. My peace is a result of my confidence in God. I have a peace because I look at God and I say, refuge, strength, a very present help in trouble. Like that's how he views God. And because that's true, he will not fear, even if other things happen. Notice how many times in that passage the word though comes up. So therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved to the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. It's like, even if these things happen, the psalmist is saying, I'm not afraid because everything's going well. He's saying, I'm not afraid or I won't be afraid even if everything doesn't go well. Even if things go into chaos, like the whole earth could give way, mountains could fall into the sea, storms, earthquakes, I ain't scared. Like that's what he's saying. Even if all this chaos happens, I ain't scared. I'm not panicking. And he's saying, my peace is not built on my circumstances. My peace is built on my faith. And the reason I won't be afraid, even if all this stuff happens, is because of my view of God. He is my refuge. He is my strength. He's accessible. He's a very present help in trouble. Now, when we don't really believe that God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble, we can tend to be overprotective of our lives. Now, let me press into that a little bit harder. You're not here to glare at me, but maybe you could put angry face emojis on this, and we can talk later. But we can tend to idolize our own personal safety too much. Or, let me put it this way, we can tend to overvalue this life as if this life is all that we have. And when we slip into that thinking, then we make this life about our prosperity, our longevity, our fulfillment and enjoyment. It's all that we have, and we hold on to it, and we idolize it too much. But this life isn't all there is, which means this life isn't just about your personal health or your personal safety or your longevity. This life is about knowing God That's why we were made. It's the purpose of our existence, to know God. In fact, I love how Paul says it in Philippians 3. He says this, "Indeed, I count everything as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Like, knowing Christ is better than anything this life could give me. "For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus." So he has a righteousness that comes from Christ, which means his union with God is everlasting, like he's been reconciled with God. "The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." He's almost welcoming death. He's not overvaluing this life because he knows what this life is about. It's about knowing God, and that is possible through Jesus. This life is about knowing God. So with that perspective, thank God for everything in this life that makes us turn to him, that makes us run to him, that makes us cry out to him, that makes us cling all the tighter to him. So if God is a refuge, you come back to Psalm 46, if God is a refuge and a help in trouble, then it's the trouble that makes us run to the refuge. It's the trouble that makes us run to the refuge. And if the psalmist is saying, troubles don't make me lose confidence in God, troubles make me run to God. Troubles make me cling to God. It's in the troubles that I look to God and say, refuge. That's where I'm going when everything's going chaotic. Or you could put it this way. The troubles of this world lead me to take comfort beyond this world. Look what the next couple passages say, verse 4 and 5. He says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns." So there's this kind of chaos going on, and even though the mountains tremble and shake and earthquakes and all those things happen, he's saying there is a place, and morning's coming. Like, he has his eyes set on something beyond this world. But you get a contrast that's happening that's quite different between the chaos of the earth giving way and mountains falling into the sea to this picture of a calm river and streams that make glad the city of God. Now, when you hear the city of God, you might think, or your mind might go to Jerusalem. Like, that's where God dwells. That's the temple's at. But Jerusalem doesn't have a river running through it. Like, that language makes us think more of the Garden of Eden or the city that we read about in Revelation 22. That's the place where God most intimately dwells with his people, where he's present, and that's what it's talking about here, where God's present with his people in a right relationship. So here's the point that the psalmist is making. The point is, the refuge is not the temple, and the refuge is not the city. The refuge is God himself. God is our refuge. Our confidence is in God's presence with us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is not distant. God is not checked out. God is not like on vacation and doesn't care. God is present. He's near. He's concerned. His hands are involved in this. He's close. His hands are in this world. He's in control. And his plans are unfolding. And it may seem dark now, but morning's coming. That's the perspective that the psalmist has. Now, that can give us comfort on one condition. This idea that God's presence with us in the face of the threats of this world are comforting only if we see God as more powerful than the things that are threatening us. Look at verses 6 through 9. He says this, "The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Now, let's pause there. It says Selah again, so we get a request for a pause. He says, let's think about this. Now, the phrase, the Lord of hosts, the word host can be translated host or armies. And that phrase, the Lord of hosts, communicates, you could say it like the Lord who commands angel armies. That's what he's talking about. So in this midst of wartime rhetoric of the nations are raging, he's kind of saying, hey, the kingdom of God has a military too. And this military is angel armies that God is leading. So if I'm a betting man, I'm going to go with the army full of angels led by God. hence the confidence. But that's what he's saying. But before we kind of fly by that too quickly, why does God leading an angel army comfort us and not terrify us? I mean, what makes you think that when an angel army led by God himself comes, that you're on the right side of that and you're not a target of that army? Why do we have comfort in that? Now, what the psalmist says is the Lord of hosts is with us. I don't know if you've been binge watching too many old movies or shows, but like you go back to The Lord of the Rings, it's a movie I love. All my nerds are going to love that too. But there's a scene in The Lord of the Rings. In fact, there's several battle scenes where something like this or similar to this happens. But there's one scene in the second movie, The Two Towers, where they're trapped in this fortress and they're battling the bad guys and it's not going well. And beforehand, Gandalf, this wizard, kind of tells them like, hey, on the third day, on dawn, look to the east, I'll be coming. And they're kind of at the tail end of this battle losing, and the sun is rising, and Gandalf rises on the top of a hill with a whole other army coming to the battle, and the people down below can look up and be like, he's with us. But that's that kind of feeling, like no matter how bad it gets, help is coming, and the help is more powerful than the trouble we're in, and we can look to that help and say, he's with us. That gives us great comfort. Now, when you read that language, the Lord of hosts is with us, God with us is a loaded term in Scripture, especially when you understand the whole context of the Bible. When you see this phrase in the context of all of Scripture, we know that the Lord being with us is a big deal. This truth of God with us is fully expressed in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, or which means God with us, as in God literally left the comforts of heaven, took on flesh, came to dwell among us, and in that he was a very present help. He became a refuge sinners can run to. He came to bring peace. In fact, you see this in Romans 5:10. It says this, for while we were enemies, so being enemies, you're on the wrong side of this host of angel armies. But while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. So we switched sides. Now we can say, oh, we're with God. Like we've been reconciled to God by the death of his son. That's what the death of Christ accomplished for us. We are now reconciled with God. Much more, now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we can look to God and his power and his angel armies, and we're like, I'm with him. Like that's the side of him. So this gives us great comfort. So reading Psalm 46 on this side of the cross brings a whole new understanding of what God with us means and what it means, or what help and refuge he provides, which fuels confidence all the more. Paul expresses this confidence in Romans 8, 35 through 39. He says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. Like, don't buy into that. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor viruses. Oh, it doesn't say viruses, but you get it. Nor height nor depth nor anything else. You can put viruses there. In all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's kind of like the psalmist saying, hey, even though the earth shakes, even though nations rage, even though the seas roar, even though there's a global pandemic, even though whatever even though the economy's looking bad, even though I'm safe in God. I'm safe in God. Listen, I'm going to say this about myself, but it's true for you as well. I'm going to die. I might get sick. I might lose my job. The economy might crash. I may lose all my savings. I may make it through this line and find out I have cancer next year. Like, all those things may unfold, but I am safe in God. I have a peace that transcends all of those circumstances, because our peace isn't resting on circumstances. It's resting on our God and who he is and what he's done for us. That's what it means to have a refuge. Like, we can go there and find our safety. Listen, I don't feel confident. I don't feel confident because I got a 2-week supply of toilet paper or I got a bomb shelter stacked with canned food. I feel confident because I got a Savior. If you were here, you'd probably amen that one. I'm just going to trust you can hit the like button, right? But that, like, I'm not confident because of the supplies I have, or I can weather this storm, or I can get over this. I'm confident, and you are confident because you have a Savior. And even though things go crazy, you are safe in God. Like, it's that kind of peace that we have. Let's keep reading. Verse 8 and 9. He says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire." So you have nations can rage all they want. When God speaks, it will be over. It will be over. It says, "He utters his voice and the earth melts." The psalmist is telling us that God will make wars cease. And then he goes into descriptive language about how that's going to happen. He's going to break the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots. It would be like saying God is going to snap the machine gun like a twig. He's going to catch the nuclear bomb like a ping pong ball. Right? He's going to step on a tank like a matchbox car. Like, none of this stuff is any match for our God. Like, he'll just bring it to an end. Now, we get to verse 10. And there's this tremendous command that we really need to lean into and pay attention to. Look at verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." So you get all this kind of chaotic language that's happening, and you know, chariots being broken and burned and bows breaking and spears being shattered. And then it's just a change of pace where he says, "Hey, be still. Be still and know that I am God." And there's a change from talking about God to God now talking. The voice of God in the first person is jumping into the psalm, and it's almost like a cease and desist command that's happening. Like two little toddlers wrestling in the living room, and they're getting out of hand, and finally dad steps in and be like, "Hey, enough, knock it off," right? And it just stops because of the authority the father has over his children. Like, it's just done. And listen to me, someday, the voice of God is going to bring this world to a stop. And until that happens, it would be wise for his people to stop and ponder his words already. They're life-giving. God should have our attention more than the chaos of this world. He's saying, "Hey, recognize, be still, know that I am God." This command for us when it comes to finding peace in the midst of chaos is simple and clear, but maybe hard to apply. Maybe you're just lost in the chaos, but what he's telling us to do is be still, slow down, stop what you're doing, and acknowledge God, his rule over everything, the future that he brings. Like, this is how it's going to end. He says, "I will be exalted in all nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." Like, this is how it comes to a close. Do nations rage? Yes. Do the seas roar? Is chaos all around us? Yes. But just because this life is out of your control does not mean it's out of control. God is in control. He's always accomplishing his purposes. His plan is unfolding. We can trust him, and we need to acknowledge that, especially in times like this. Even though an economy goes down, even though sickness spreads, even though wars happen, here's what we believe. Our God is a refuge, a strength, a very present help in danger. He is with us. We experience that most fully in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, and he reconciled us to God that we can be with him, home with our Creator like we were made to be. That changes everything. Think of it like this. We'll try to get practical, but fight fear with faith. Fight fear with faith. Like, fear will well up. Like, there's all kinds of things that can kind of attack us and make us worry, bring anxiety about, cause us to be afraid. When that happens, even though it's an emotion coming from your own heart, doesn't mean it shouldn't go unchecked. You need to fight back that fear. Well, how do you fight fear? With faith. That's how you feel, but what do you know? What does Scripture teach us? What is God's word? You preach that to yourself. You fight fear with faith. And faith isn't just hoping something is true. Faith is a confidence that something is true, so much so that it shapes your actions and emotions. God needs to be more real than our fears. He will win. He will be exalted in the earth. He holds the future in his hands. So our future with God needs to influence our emotions more than our present troubles do. Well, that is what confidence in God looks like. But how do we develop a confidence in God like that, that produces that kind of peace? Because our present troubles can feel really real. So much so that it consumes us. We can spend all day thinking about it. We can watch news cycles over and over again. We can just look up article after article and what we want to read. And we just can be consumed in the what ifs and the uncertainties. And we just be plagued with fear. So what are we supposed to do? How do we make this practical? Let me tell you what I think you need to remember, and we'll talk a little bit about it. But here's what I'd love for you to remember. Cultivate peace in your heart by dwelling on God in your mind. Let's just get practical on how we shape our emotions. Cultivate peace in your heart by dwelling on God in your mind. To put it simply, we just don't think about God enough. We believe in God, we acknowledge God, we know that he exists, but we don't spend enough mental time dwelling on God. We don't think about God enough. And whatever, listen to me, whatever captivates your mind will cultivate emotions in your heart. I'm going to say that again because you're probably in your pajamas and you don't have a pen by you, but you need to get this, right? Whatever captivates your mind will cultivate emotions in your heart. And we are commanded to dwell on God. It commands us in the psalm, be still and know that I am God. In the midst of all this chaos, basically God's saying, hey, remember me? Right? Like turn, just stop, be still, slow down, check out, and turn your attention back to me. Acknowledge, know that I am God. Know my strength, my power, my commands, my promises. Know my sovereignty. Know that I'm in control. Like recognize God in this. And guys, we need to have this as a frequent practice in our lives. Stopping, being still, and knowing God. So I put Selah in there. Stop. Pause, think about this. That's the command. It's a command. And it's not complicated. You don't sit there wondering, like, just I wonder what God wants for me. Stop, be still, and turn your attention to God. And it kind of seems like he might have cleared your schedule for a little while. We have time to turn our attention to God, but are you able to do that? Are you able to just be still? I don't mean like, well, yeah, all this week I binge watched all 9 seasons of The Office. No, not like kind of just sitting and doing nothing, but like getting away from TV, getting away from technology, getting away from people, and just being still with yourself and your thoughts on God. Are you able to reflect and ponder and think about God for even 5 minutes? Do you know his character? Do you know his word? Do you know his promises enough to dwell on those? If you do that, it would do wonders to your heart. And God not only commands us in the psalm to take time to be still and turn our attention to God, it's also what this psalm is doing. There is one line that gets repeated twice, followed by the word Selah, which tells us to kind of pause and reflect on this. The line that gets repeated is, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." It's the line that's in the middle of the psalm. It's the line that ends the psalm. Each time there's a Selah by it, it kind of comes back to that. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, a fortress is something you go into for protection. And the way you take refuge in God is by turning to this truth again and again and again and again. God is with us. We experience this most fully in Jesus Christ when God took on flesh and came to dwell among us and became our refuge, that the God of angel armies will no longer destroy us, but we can look at that force and say we're reconciled to God, we're with him. It changes everything. And we need to come back to this truth again and again and again, just like this psalm does. We preach the gospel to ourselves. This is the faith that we use to fight fear. And this psalm is actually a song. It was written for the choir master. It was meant to be sung. And a line that repeats in a song is known as a chorus. And a chorus in a song drives home the main point of the song. It's the message that they want to get across. It's the chorus that comes back to. And listen, our verses, we're thinking about our soundtrack for your life. Our verses may be full of raging nations and earthquakes and global pandemics and economic downfalls. But our chorus is that God is with us. He is a refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help in trouble. We see this in Jesus, who went to the cross and in his death reconciled us to our Father, so that even though the waters rage and the nations rage and the sickness spreads, we are safe in God. That's our chorus. And if we learn to live that loud enough, maybe other people will catch on to the peace that's made possible through Jesus Christ. Listen, guys, let's take time, and I mean just now, especially now, but beyond this season, to be obedient to this command, to be still and to reflect on God. The nature, the character, the promises, the good news of God. You know, we give our attention to that. So here's my challenge to you. I don't want you to just hear that and be like, yeah, that's great. We should do that. I need to work on that. Get out your calendar, pull up your phone, flip open your calendar, however it is, and schedule it. Look at your week. Look at your day. Like, when are you going to give time to be obedient to this command? Where you just be still. Shut the TV off, put your phone down, shut your computer, get into a room by yourself, and just spend time reflecting on the character of God, the control of our God, the size of our God, the promises of our God, the future we have because of our God. It will do wonders to your heart. So here's my challenge. What if you committed to spend time in God's word, time praying, time reflecting, getting away, being still and knowing that he is God? What if you committed to spending time doing that, at least 1 minute more of a time doing that than you do spending in the news, than you do social media? If we would commit to dwell on the good news of our God and who he is and what he's done for us in our minds, the emotions that it would cultivate in our heart would be peace, joy, contentment, even though the world around us is going crazy. And if that's the emotions that we have, our actions will follow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We think of Psalm 46 especially. I pray that this truth would be a comfort to our people, that we would turn here, that we would read, that we would memorize, that we know that you're in control, that you can be trusted. And even though all kinds of things happen around us, we will not be afraid, because we look to you and we see a refuge. We see strength. We see a present help in trouble. And we see it most clearly in Jesus Christ, God with us, Emmanuel, who came to be our refuge, to be our strength, and to be our help. And because of Christ, we will not fear. In the midst of this chaos, I pray that our attention and our minds would turn to your gospel, your truth, that we would tell it to ourselves over and over and over again and be captivated in our minds with this truth, so that the emotion of peace would be cultivated in our hearts. We love you, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen.